Father, thank you for gifting us through your Spirit, giving us an ability, the means of contributing to, together with others, to the well-being of the church, the edification of the church. Father, please help us to identify our gifts, to hone and develop our gifts, to deploy our gifts, and to do that in a way that is godly and characterized by godliness. Help us to think about this issue today of humility, of not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, of placing ourselves lower down the pecking order, even as leaders, that we might be those that serve and sacrifice, rather those who sinfully draw attention to ourselves, regard ourselves to be of first importance. Please help us perhaps especially to think about this in the light of the gospel, in the light of the Lord Jesus, who left the glory of heaven to come to be born in a stable. Father, teach us, we pray, and help us to be like him in our leadership, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as I've said, we are wanting to think about our role as team leaders. So especially thinking about our role as a role in which we have responsibility to lead others. That is, you know, so we're in a role, we're team leaders. What is that? It's leading the team, that's our responsibility. And we're thinking about how we do that and how we're doing that impacts others. So that others on the team are grateful for our leadership, rather than being frustrated by our leadership, by the way in which we do things. Assuming that, you know, they're making a fair assessment of what's going on. But it is that whole impact of, okay, yeah, we're leaders. What does that entail? What does it look like? And in particular, I think we're thinking about some of the character stuff rather than some of the competency stuff, because our character will come out in how we do things. So it's not just about being good at stuff. You know, what you need to be a good leader is have these competencies. We are thinking about the character stuff that shapes us, shapes how we deploy what we're doing. So I'm aware that we're in different situations and the size of our team could be different. And I suspect there are a multiplicity of teams. It could well be that you have a small launch team. It could be that you might even have a staff team. You might have an eldership, and then you have a congregation, perhaps. But in other words, at some point in your life, in your ministry life, you have people who are looking to you to lead them. It's your responsibility to get hold of this team and take them somewhere. And the question I think I want us to think about is, what are you like as a team leader? What do your other team leaders make of you or think of you? And one of the reasons for this, I've been thinking this week about this week has been a week in which there have been two long-serving and successful football managers who've been sacked. And so I've been kind of pondering that whole thing of responsibility and blame, and how that sits with someone who is the team leader, perhaps in this case the manager. And I've been trying to sort of wonder whether it's right and fair for football managers to be losing their jobs. So, for example, this week, Daniel Farke of Norwich and who was at Aston Villa?
Dean Smith
lost their jobs. Now, of course, it's neither of them is in a particularly healthy state. Norwich at the bottom of the Premier League. Aston Villa lost five in a row. But those are two men who have a history of leading those clubs well and leading them to success. And just, you know, asking, sort of thinking, you know, is that fair? Is that right? I mean, there's the continual debate about whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer should carry on at Man United. And then I've come to think about the political situation as well, where you have leaders. And in the past, when I was younger, people would get called out on something, or their departments wouldn't do something well, and they'd fall on their sword. You know, they'd say, that's on my watch, I'll go. Whereas now, honestly, you just, it seems like you can't get people out of their job. And I think, I can't remember whether it was Gavin Williamson or whether it was, who's the health secretary, Matt Hancock, who were not taking responsibility for stuff, were pointing fingers elsewhere. And you think, seriously, you know, 20 years ago, people have said, you know, I'm going. It, you know, it was my responsibility, I'll go. So, yeah. So this is stuff that's been going on in my head. And I've been thinking about a thing as a result of reading Craig Hamilton. I've been thinking about the issue of fundamental attribution error. You might be familiar with it. I guess that really depends on how much of Craig you've read before. That's where I get most of my good ideas. Here you go. The basic idea of it is this. It goes like this. There's a positive version and a negative version. Neither is good, as we'll see. So the positive version goes something like this. When I succeed, it is because of my own innate ability. I am successful. I've done things well. And I should take the credit for that. But when other people succeed, it's because of favourable circumstances. They had a fair wind. It has more to do with them being in the right place at the right time than them being right and getting it right. So when I do things well, it's because of me. When they do things well, it's not because of them, it's because of other situations. That's the positive version. The negative version goes like this. When I fail, when something doesn't go right on my watch, it's because of the extenuating circumstances, which were not remotely favourable. In fact, they all worked against me. There was a conspiracy of circumstances, and I am not to blame for the fact because I'm good. It must be other things. But of course, when others fail, it is actually because of who they are and an innate fault in them. Rather than circumstances. It's, in other words, it's their fault, they're to blame. You know, they are substandard in some way. So the fundamental attribution error is essentially we attribute problems to other people, or we attribute credit where it ought not to be. Now, that kind of thing in our thinking does not make for great leadership. And it goes something like this. When I mess up, it's because of my circumstances. When others fail, it's because of their failings. When I succeed, it's because of my ability. When others succeed, it's accidental. So look, that's the thing I want us to think about. And I want us to think about that in the context of teams. And if that is our habitual behavior, what's that going to look like when we've got other people around us? Okay. Now, before we do that, it's worth to think about the nature of teams. And we won't spend very long on this because in one sense it's pretty self-evident. But of course, a team is the sum of its members. Everyone contributes to a team. They do so in a variety of different ways. And 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us that different people contribute in different ways, and we might overlook or undervalue the contributions of others, but when we do so, we make a big mistake. So everyone contributes to a team, and because once it's there, the image is that of the body, and you can't have one part of the body saying, I don't need you, because it's just not the case. So there is this wonderful interdependence within a functioning team. We all need one another, we all contribute to one another. And therefore, you win as a team, you lose as a team. And one of the roles within the team is that of captain. You know, you can have star players, you can have key players, but you actually need a captain, and that's just one particular role. And that's our role. The trouble is, when we make that the thing, you know, actually captaincy or team leadership is the thing, it's the whole, and it's not the whole, it's part of the whole, it contributes to the whole, it's a key component, but it's not the whole. And things go wrong when we forget that we're part of the team. The team isn't us, we have a role within the team. And so I think we get to a dangerous point where we begin to think of ourselves either as the team or separate from the team. And so it might mean, for example, that we take credit for what the team has done, and it might mean we assign blame when things go wrong. So I think it helps for us to think of our leadership as part of a coherent, interdependent package. In leadership, the fundamental attribution error can lead us to attribute our team successes to our leadership and to attribute our team's failures to team members not being up to the task. And that, of course, is the complete opposite of how team leaders ought to operate. Instead of taking credit to ourselves, or rather taking credit ourselves and assigning blame to the team, we should give credit to the team and take blame ourselves. Yeah, that's the way it is. Good leadership, servant-hearted leadership goes like this. The team have done a great job. That was my mistake. Not I've done a great job. You've made a mistake. So when the team that you lead achieves something, make sure we give the team credit. I mean, both privately and publicly. I think sometimes we're good at giving public praise because we know it'll make us look good for the fact that we've praised the team publicly. But actually what we need to do is in private, just get more comfortable and say, guys, I thought you did a great job. I thought we did a great job. Well done. It's terrific. So when a team runs something that goes well, or it organises something, or it goes beyond what you might reasonably expect of them as volunteers, as team leader, give them credit, privately and publicly. When things go pear-shaped, though, on the other hand, leaders ought to take the blame. And the reason for that is our role as team leaders is to make something happen. Undefined at this point. So when it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen in the way that we want it to happen, or it's meant to happen, the responsibility for that sits on our shoulders, because we're the ones with the responsibility to make that happen. That was our job. We were meant to lead the team to make that happen. If it hasn't happened, we've got to take responsibility. Now, of course, it may not be our fault, but we are responsible. Someone else may have been at fault through what they did or what they didn't do, and that's often invariably the case. There's a difference between taking responsibility, taking blame, or saying I'm responsible to you. But it is our responsibility as leader. When something happens on our watch, we do need to take responsibility. Now, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean, therefore, we need to step down or fall on our sword or stand away, but it does mean we take it on the chin and we'll do things differently going forward. And we might need to put a hand up and say, yeah, that was me. And it doesn't mean that the person who was at fault bears no responsibility and isn't to blame at all. Then they get off scot-free and they just do whatever within the team. They ought to expect a gentle private conversation in which we talk about the consequences, perhaps even a reprimand for their failure. I think the tough part of our job is holding people responsible and accountable. Even if we know deep down it honors people, I just think it's really hard to have that hard conversation in which you say, you dropped the ball, didn't you? And it might be that we haven't got the language for it, but I just think we have, instinctively, lots of us, if we're people, we like to be positive and warm, and particularly for a church planter, we like people enjoying us to say, actually, that was substandard. You didn't do what you were meant to do. It's just really hard to do. But what we need to avoid doing is finger pointing either in private or in public. And instead, we need to be quick to show that we'll take responsibility and that we're willing to take the blame. So we need to be, I'll put it this way, we need to be those that hold our hands up rather than point the finger. So the headline is this: give credit, take blame, or perhaps take responsibility. Not the other way around. If you take credit and give blame, you will destroy your team. It'll wreck morale. No one will enjoy working for you. It'll undermine people's confidence in you as a leader. will undermine their willingness to work for you as a leader. They need to know you've got their back and you might protect them and you'll take responsibility. But behind the scenes, you might have a conversation where you say, look, you know, I'm happy to take on the chin for this one, but just you and I both know you didn't send that email, did you? No, okay, so therefore they didn't know and they haven't accepted and actually you haven't got to speak out with them, they know. Okay, look, it's our secret, let's make sure it doesn't happen again, but, you know, I'll be the one who takes responsibility up front or whatever. When you do that, I think the team know that you're not in it for what you're getting out of it. So, yeah. And now a leader who takes all the credit for success, but hangs the team out to dry when it goes wrong, just erodes people's trust in him. And after a while, people realize that actually just a mercenary leader, that we're not really committed to the cause, we're not really committed to them, we are committed to our own reputation. So if something goes badly, we disassociate ourselves with what's gone wrong, we say, I'm brilliant, they're bad, let's just everyone look at their badness, rather than me. So instead of being a mercenary leader who's in it for what they can get out of it, it is worth taking some time to think through these familiar words from Philippians 2, which precede Paul's description of Jesus leaving the glory of heaven, coming down to earth, suffering and dying before being raised and exalted by his Father. And Paul says this, do nothing to the congregation in Philippi, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So the headline is, there's a real danger for leaders to take credit where they should actually take responsibility, and to give blame where they should give credit. And part of the reason for that is not understanding our role and the nature of team, but also this fundamental attribution error. And in one sense, it's arrogance. I'm good, they're bad. I'm better than them. So if it goes well for them, it must be circumstances. If it goes badly for me, it must be also because of circumstances. Because the normal way of operating is, well, I'm good and I'm competent, therefore it always goes well. Anyway, there you go. That's my thinking. Over to you. Comments, queries, questions, leadership, this thing of humility.
Perks, would you, I don't know if I can be heard. Can you hear me, Perks? All right, sorry. Would you do that within an eldership team as well? I mean, I can see that would make sense on a Sunday, but at what level of team would you just be more open?
Do you mean if something's gone wrong and who you tell? What's gone wrong and why it's gone wrong.
Yes, that's what, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So if something has gone wrong, let's say Rico Tice was meant to be speaking at our Christmas Carol service. Oh my life. No one got around to answering him, asking him, and therefore he's not coming. So you might say to the congregation, you don't want to hang, let's say it was Sharon's fault for never sending that email. You wouldn't have, you know, Matt shouldn't stand up in front of the congregation and say, we were going to have Rico, but it's not Rico. Unfortunately, we've got Richard Perkins. It's not quite the same. I'm really sorry about that. But it's Sharon's fault. That would be hanging her out to dry. I think Matt would say that we were meant to have Rico. We haven't got Rico. We've got Richard Perkins. Not quite as good. I take responsibility for that. I should have been sure that happened. And it hasn't, and I'm really sorry about that. However, the gospel is powerful, so still bring friends. Within the staff team, I think that's a judgment call. I think in the elders, you might say, guys, this is what happened. you might say, particularly if it's an eldership that's got history of being open and honest with one another, you might say, look, Sharon didn't send the email. I take responsibility for that. I didn't check. We did have a meeting, however, where that was one of her to-do things, and it was she produced the notes after the meeting, and that was one of the action points, and it had her name by it. So, and she's accepted that that's the case. But look, we all know Sharon. She's brilliant. She never gets anything wrong. This was unexpected. I think you might do that with the eldership. I'm not sure you do that in the staff team. I think, however, if an individual takes responsibility for it publicly, you know, in a staff team, and Sharon says, guys, I'm really sorry about that. That's my fault. I've learned a lesson from that. Everyone's at that point, it's easy. The dynamic is reassurance. Don't worry. We all make mistakes. It's not the end of the world. The gospel's still being preached. Thank you for being honest. We're all surprised. You never do that. We think you're right. That's an easier dynamic. Those would be my initial observations. Does that kind of scratch where you're itching in terms of your question?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Others want to comment on that or start to feed into that?
I wonder if I might use this fairly practical example. I don't know if you can see this flyer, but this is a flyer that was developed for about two or three Easters ago by five people were working on this, but it fell under my area and the dates were wrong. And we printed 3,000 of these, and they were quite a lot of, you know, quite a lot per piece. And actually I took the blame, but not all of it, because I should have been the last one to see it and okay it, which didn't happen. It went to the printers before I saw it, but it fell under my area. So I took the blame for it, but not all of the blame. But I also didn't take all the credit when people commented on how wonderful it was, because we got it done with the right date on. And it actually was very effective because we went out into the community and handed it out as an invite. So I think, Perks, one of the things that we fail as leaders to do often is we give someone the task without the responsibility. And actually what we do then is we undermine their say on it. So what I should have done in that instance is said to the last person that proofread it, it's you take the responsibility for that too. You're going to be the last one to see it before you send it off to the printers. That way, it's very clear who has the responsibility and who has, you know, where does the buck stop, if you like. I don't know if that's helpful.
It's really helpful. And I think one of the things I find helpful, I may have mentioned this in the past, Matt Beebe drew attention to a thing called the 6 levels of delegation. And I think I've mentioned that before. That is worth looking at. Just Google it and just look at the prettiest picture that you can see under images. And it's just a different way of delegating. From at the one end, you are a gopher. So that delegation is, I want you to do this. This is how I want you to do it. This is when I want you to do it, by go and do it. You've got no say, no, you know, you're responsible for getting it done, but you've got no say. At the other end is, look, we need this to happen. You decide. And then there are kind of levels in between that are sort of, you know, a modification of that, so that you're, one sense, giving, you're giving responsibility, you're empowering, and you're upping their sense of ownership and accountability for whether that happens or not. That's worth looking at, just to clarify how, for example, you might have chosen to delegate that in a way that made it clear that the person checking it thinks, my eyes are the last pair of eyes that will see this before this goes. If this isn't right, it's on me. Right, I'm going to pay attention, rather than kind of, you know, that thing. So, and the other thing I would say is, when you do what you did, there is a sense of, an appropriate sense of indebtedness from the person on your team who says, you just protected me from the kind of whatever was coming my way. You stood in for me and you took the hit. And that's something very wonderful because it reminds me of my Saviour who took the hit in my place. And I think if we do that in a team, and you're the kind of team leader that will sacrifice your own reputation as someone who's competent and doesn't make mistakes to protect someone else, actually, I think what that they are grateful. They're thankful. And indebtedness implies something inappropriate, but there's a sense in which actually that motivates them to work for you. They trust you. You've got their back. So I think it can be a positive thing.